This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr sent out the strongest hint yet that prized pieces in the DIA collection are indeed on the table as a way to put money into the city coffers. Without offering many details, Orr told the Detroit Economic Club today that there are ways for the DIA to make money from its artwork that might not involve outright sales, perhaps would involve long-term leases. But Orr was clear, he must consider ways to use the museum's treasures to help the bankrupt city. Also earlier this week, another one of the city's jewels was back in the spotlight. The state and Mayor Dave Bing announced an agreement under which the state DNR would indeed run Belle Isle as Michigan's 102nd state park. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes joins us now. And Daniel, the reaction to that news from the Coleman A. Young Municipal Building has left you more than a little frustrated, hasn't it?
Well, it's predictable. We don't know if we want to do this. Well, we need to look and see if there's another option. You've got some people saying they can't be seizing one of our assets. Well, this is an asset that the city can't afford to maintain and hasn't maintained adequately for a very long time. And the proposal would have the city still owning the island. It's not going anywhere, and it's also not being sold off to private developers or anything else. The state would maintain it and put some money into it. And yet, three months into bankruptcy, you get more reminders this week that people in positions of leadership, either at the pension funds or City Hall, they still don't get it, that the city is bankrupt.
So what does that tell you? What does that reaction tell you? I know you're saying, hey, wake up, and you're clueless. But deeper, what do you think is happening?
Well, I think it's a manifestation of the fact that leaders, the so-called leaders here, do not understand the depth of the predicament that the city's in and what it portends for their patch. For example, the pension funds have petitioned the bankruptcy court this week and asked the judge to allow them to get another judge to rule that would allow them to start paying a 13th check again to their pensioners and even active employees. And these are pension funds that are already underfunded. There's an argument about how underfunded they are, but there's no dispute that they are underfunded. And by taking those additional earnings that they're making in a fairly strong equity market and then disbursing them to people above and beyond what they're supposed to disburse them for, all that does is eat away at the asset base of the pension fund that's supposed to support people well into old age.
And wasn't it clear that 13th check over the years is part of what got them in this dilemma in the first place?
Yeah, and I think that's really kind of the point I'm making here about the cluelessness of some of these leaders. I mean, you've also got the situation that we've talked about a lot at the DIA. This past weekend, my colleague Nolan Finley wrote a column citing sources basically saying there is going to be something done with the art, and people need to get on the bus here and at the DIA and be part of some kind of solution here, as opposed to just saying it can't be done, we're not going to be part of it, because something is going to happen. And I think you put all this stuff into the stew, and you want to say to people, do you really realize the seriousness of the situation we're in right now? You can't keep operating as if it's business as usual, because it clearly is not.
Let's look at this city council reaction, and now we also work in the fact that both candidates for mayor say they're against the Belle Isle lease, so that's something Mike Duggan and Benny Napoleon apparently agree on. They're both talking about alternative plans, although we haven't heard any details or names of players. Is this a matter of sheer incompetence, or is this kind of that truculence of you're not going to tell us what to do?
I think it's a combination of the two, and I would add a third, and the third is politicking. Remember, we are 5 weeks or so away from an election in the city of Detroit that will elect a new city council, seven of the nine members of whom will be drawn from districts for the first time since 1918, and a new mayor. So I think you have these politicians, particularly the ones who are going to be standing for re-election, to stake out what they believe is the most politically advantageous position. And I don't think there's any question, but that's what's going on here. Mike Duggan, I think, clearly is trying to put together a policy that he can sell. I heard him on another radio interview say this morning that he would have preferred that this happened after the election, and the thinking being that this was something he was going to go to the governor with anyway and say, look, this is the way I think we can do this. And his argument is Detroit has to prove that it can govern itself. Fair point. But the reaction to the Belle Isle thing so far and some of the things we're seeing coming from the pension funds is that they probably can't.
And so what do you think all of this says, this kind of attitude you call the Detroit slow walk, that chronic foot dragging? What does this say to the rest of Michigan, and what does it say to Lansing?
Well, I think to Lansing, I would take it in a couple of pieces. I think to the governor's office, I think it's confirmatory that they did the right thing in terms of appointing the emergency manager and taking the city into bankruptcy. They came to that conclusion after they saw how difficult it was to get anything accomplished under the consent agreement, that the elected officials really couldn't move forward, and Kevin Orr's had to do that. And I think it's probably the same thing for the state. I mean, the governor's going to be running for re-election, and I suspect that the bankruptcy filing and the appointment of emergency manager in Detroit is not hurt him politically outside of the city of Detroit, that on balance there's probably a lot of people that think this is something that should have happened a long time ago.
And what do you think this kind of behavior will do to the mindset of the rest of Michigan when we keep hearing it said, you know, as Detroit is a part of Michigan, mm-hmm. trying to work against that sense of let it happen there, we don't care, we're living up in Northwest Michigan?
I think more people are it's just as an instinctual thing, but my instinct is people are more hopeful that Detroit can make the turn now than they've been in a long time, because they see a lot of things going right in the city. You have a very active business and foundation community. You've got Kevin Orr restructuring. You've got services that are either being privatized or exited altogether, which takes pressure off the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the federal government that is using a lot of existing federal programs to support restructuring in the city and ease some of the pain of that restructuring. So there's a lot of things going right than there is going wrong. And on top of that, you've got this election. So some of the people that are raising objections today in the first week of October may not be part of the situation come January 1st.
But when you think that both, as you say, they're doing politics, but both Mike Duggan and Benny Napoleon mm-hmm. are against this state plan with Belle Isle, does that cause concern for you?
No, not necessarily. I think it's predictable. I think I'd be stunned if either one of them said, oh, yeah, let that happen. I think the devil is in the details in the sense of what they would propose. And I suspect, given his background, Mike Duggan is going to put forth a proposal that is city-driven but essentially gets to the same place that the governor wants to get to, which is to improve Belle Isle.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with our weekly check-in. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.